An honor to be here, and I'm excited to share a message with you. I want to just acknowledge it's been a while since we've been here, but I remember a lot of your faces, and it is a joy to come here. It really is. I enjoyed every part of the service, the devotional, the Sunday school discussion, the Father's Day, and the singing. I just life here, and I encourage you in that. Keep the life of Christ burning within you. And so it's a joy to be here. It really is. And it's an honor to be able to share with you. I'll tell you, it's a little bit, you can call it cheating if you want. But I was asked to share a message in March. And so I meditated a lot and prepared a lot. And in our church, we were speaking through the life of Christ. So I kind of had a message prepared. Well, then I was sick that day. I thought I was going to be able to do it, and at the last minute, I just couldn't do it. So then I actually just preached that message 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to share the same message with you, but I am excited about it. But I also have meditated on this for a very long time, since sometime in February I started studying. I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ, the living Word, and the fact that Jesus Christ still speaks to us. And then I'm going to give you a bit of a challenge at the end, that in our life and busyness, we need to slow down if we're going to hear the voice of God speak to us. So that's the bookends of my message. But first of all, I thought of a verse that I also was aware of in the last week that I want to share with you. This is really separate from the message, so just take this verse. But it says in Isaiah 9, "To us a child of hope is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And then he says, "And of the increase of his peace and of his government there shall be no end." And I want to just speak that verse over you as a verse of hope and a verse of confidence. There's a lot of messy stuff out there. But there's nothing that can take away from the peace and the permanence of the government of Jesus Christ for us. So we can look around, but we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear ever, because Jesus remains forever, and nothing can decrease his government and his peace that he has for us. So I give you that as just a word of encouragement. Look to him, be encouraged, be strengthened. Look around, know what's going on, but don't let the mess get you down. Look to Jesus. Okay, that's just a little extra note that I had. So the first verse I want to give you in this message is Isaiah 40 says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." How many are in for that verse? I love that verse, okay? We can be renewed in strength, and we need that. The more we get older, the more we need renewed strength. We can run and not be weary, all these things. But there's a little bit of a catch to the verse that I think we just jump over many times. It says, "They that wait upon the Lord are the ones that will receive the promise." And how many of us recognize that in our culture, society, as Americans, we're not that good at waiting? We're not, right? So I'll give you a funny little story. My brother-in-law would every day on the way to work pick up another coworker, and my brother-in-law is a very precise person, so I'm sure he drove in at the same minute every day. But every time he drove in, the guy would get up and get his lunch box and get his jacket on and make his way to the car. My brother was quite impatient. So one day my brother-in-law drove in and saw him sitting at the table waiting till he drove in. So my brother-in-law waited a bit and left. And then the guy said, this is a true story. And the guy said, "Well, I was ready." He said, "I waited on you 30 seconds and then I left." So we're not that good at waiting, are we? We like the Lord to renew our strength in our timetable. We like him to give us that strength and energy and the answer we need in our timetable. And God doesn't live in time, but for helping us understand that God's time frame and our time frame are not the same. Many, many times. So, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And I'm going to talk to you about slowing down to see beyond what's obvious because Jesus is speaking to you. The next verse that I have in this study is John 6:63. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And I love that verse. And if you look at the context, we're not going to go there deeply, but Jesus is talking to them about being the bread of life. And he explains to them how Moses gave them manna in the wilderness, but he says, if you eat the bread that I'm going to give you, you will never hunger again. And they said, hold it here, Moses gave us bread, but we got hungry again. And Jesus said, you don't understand. I'm going to give you this bread and you're never going to hunger again. And then he said, of all the weird things that Jesus said, he said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have none of this. And they were like, this guy's crazy. In fact, it says they left following him because they could not make sense of what he said. But then Jesus says this verse. He says, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so he was speaking to them about the natural bread, but he was also speaking to them about a spiritual truth that they had to stop and think deeper than just the bread that we make and the loaf of bread that we slice to realize what he was saying. And he wasn't saying, I'm going to take wheat and make a bread that you're never going to have a physical hunger again. But he was saying, I am going to be bread and I'm going to be broken. And when I feed you, your spiritual need will be met. And they didn't get it. But let's not be too hard on them, because it was really, if you dissect the words of Jesus in that, it's like, hold it here. What are you saying when he said, you've got to eat my flesh and you got to drink my blood if you want to have this life? But he was talking about something deeply spiritual. And so I believe that when Jesus spoke, really, whenever he spoke, his words were spirit and life. They were more than just facts and intellectual information. They were spirit and life. So I believe that Jesus, the life and teaching of Jesus, was perfectly designed to draw us into an ongoing relationship with him, to learn of him and learn his ways. And I also believe we need to just slow down a notch many times to hear his voice. There's a saying that I heard, and I'm pretty sure Jerry Benjamin said it. I'm not positive anymore because someone questioned me, but any ever heard Jerry Benjamin speak? Yeah, some have. I loved his speaking, but he said this. So listen closely. When a child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, the Spirit of God changes him or her into the image of God for the glory of God. So there's a lot of God going on there, but there's also a progression of looking into His Word and seeing more than just written words. When a child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, then the Spirit of God works from within inside of you and transforms and changes us into the image of God for the glory of God. It's wonderful. So when you think about that, you think about engaging your spirit, and you think about learning more than just facts, okay? Learning what Jesus is saying to us, connecting spirit to spirit, and motivating and transforming us into his image for his eternal purpose. And it's fun. It's really, really fun. So, Malachi, I think, already mentioned, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I want to say, reading the Bible through is a great plan. Go for it. Read a lot. But there's also a time in life to just take one verse and meditate on it every day for a month or two, for a while. And that's why I'm saying slow down. So take this verse. Take it home with you. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. What is God telling us? Okay? And he said this to the woman at the well in John 4, but he was referring to the Jewish way of worship and their way of worship and the new way of worship. And I believe he was revealing to her, listen, there's something beyond what you know that is real true worship, and I'm calling you into that. And I believe the same is true for us today. And I personally believe that there's some things we do corporately in unity together, but then there's other things that are just very personal, and God wants to speak to you in your spot and call you to this, and speak to you in your spot and call you to this. And it's so personal. That's how Jesus works. And so when he says you must worship me in spirit and truth, he's calling all of us to a certain point, and it's an individual personal point. But that's where God wants to meet you, where you're at and where he wants to meet you at. So we worship in this church. We worship by singing. We worship by acts of service that we do. We worship in all of that. But if our spirit is not engaged and we're meeting God in a personal way, there's something more that we're not experiencing. The essence of the Christian life is the Spirit of God living with inside of us. And I think we all know that. I believe deeply that the Spirit of God does more for us than we realize or know. He works. He's working. He's guiding our hearts, our thoughts, our minds. He's guiding us in ways, protecting us, our family. And sometimes we wonder where he's at, but I just believe he's just there. He's active. He's all the time moving. And so when we worship in spirit and truth, we're worshiping out of the spirit that God placed in us and connecting with his spirit in a very rich personal way. So, again, the words that Jesus spoke to us, they are spirit and they are life. Now, I'm going to just switch gears a little bit. But John 1 says, the beginning of John 1, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And in verse 14, you read that, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, if you go back to the beginning of that, it says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, by him was not anything made that was made. So we're speaking about a Word, but all of a sudden we're speaking about a person. And so the Word of God is a person. If you were, there's different ways to translate that passage. The Passion Translation uses the word living expression. Okay, in Hebrews it says that Jesus is the express image of God. And so if you put that, if you take that back to the Word, it says, in the beginning was the living expression of God, and the living expression was with God, and the living expression was God. The living expression was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by the living expression of God. So you get this picture, and we're talking about Jesus, and we're talking about a Word, and we're talking about communication, we're talking about revelation, all of that, we're talking about Jesus. And then when it says that in Hebrews, it says, if you look at the NIV, the express image is translated exact representation. So Jesus wasn't like almost like God or mostly like God or almost all the time he represented God. Jesus represented God fully and perfectly all the time. And we get a hold of that. Jesus said to Thomas in John 14, Thomas said, how can we know the Father? And what did Jesus say? Look at me. Look at me. I've shown you the Father. I am what you need to know about the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All you have to do is look at me and you can see God and see the Father. And they got some of it. They didn't get all of it. Later when the Spirit of God was released upon them, I believe they got more of it. But anyway, it's just a really, really fun thing. So Jesus is the Word of God. What is a word? Just in your own mind. What is a word? There's many different ways to explain a word, and I'm only going to explain it in what I think is a very understandable way of teaching. But a word, I would say, is a vehicle of communication, or a container of communication, you could say. So I say a word from me to you, from me to Abe. Maybe if I'm talking to Abe, I'll talk about deer, who knows. But we know what that word means, right? So in a natural sense, a word is only effective when both parties understand the same language. So if I'm going to say a word of communication to you, it needs to be a word that you understand or you'll miss it. Okay? If I speak Spanish or some other language, whatever, some of you might get it, some of you might not. Pennsylvania Dutch, probably most of you would. But The point is, there's a connection. Now, there's things we can explain about that seeing Jesus Christ, but I believe that the Word of God in Jesus transcends all language barriers. It's just like, do you know what the universal response of approval and pleasure is across the world? A smile, okay? We don't need to know each other's language. We don't need to know anything about each other. But if I walk to you and smile and shake your hand, it's approval. It's something. If something happens to me and I smile, my face shows delight. It's approval. I honestly believe that the Word of God in Jesus Christ is just like a smile. It needs no definition. It needs no dictionary. It speaks for itself, and it speaks to our hearts. So we can, in that, what do we want to know about God? We look to Jesus. He is the Word of God. This is the written Word of God. Jesus is the living Word of God, and He still speaks, and He's still alive. So, if you look at it that way, Isaiah 55 says, "For as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow, and it waters the earth, and it does not return, but it accomplishes what it was sent for, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." If you think about that verse, and you tie that with John 1:1, you could put Jesus in that verse. Jesus came, and he did not fail to accomplish all that God had for him to accomplish. He prospered in what God wanted him to do. And so Jesus remains that living Word of God coming and meeting us right where we're at. So when you look at the written Word of God, the Bible, the written Word of God is by God's ultimate design exactly what we need. I found some interesting facts about that. How many of you have read a book about an author that had an experience, and when you were done reading the book, you were like, boy, they made way more out of that than they could have? Anybody else read books like that? There's so many books about everything today, and books are good. I'm not coming against that. I enjoy reading books. But when I look at the Bible, I'm like, sometimes these stories and parables and Jesus, like if you look at the New Testament, and especially if you look at the Gospels, like seriously, it's like that. Like, why didn't Jesus give us more? Why didn't God give us more written word? Why doesn't He explain? There's stories in the Bible that are a little hard to understand, and then there's no conclusion. God doesn't say, now this is what I thought about this story, and I'm like, come on, tell us more. I want more written. And if you look at the ministry of Christ, I did a Google search, so I don't know how accurate it is, but it says that if you study the Gospels, we read of Jesus 56 days of his life. Okay? If you look at his ministry as 3.5 years, whatever, I'm not getting real technical here. That 56 might be wrong, and you can prove me wrong, but it's not 100. There's not 100 days of Jesus' life mentioned in the Gospels. So, if you go to the 50 or 60 days, to 1,200 days of 3.5 years, we got a day every 3 weeks. And I'm like, God, why didn't you give us more? Where was Jesus in the other times? Where was Jesus when he was growing up, when he was a teenager? How did he behave as a youth? And all of that stuff. And I'm like, man, I just wish sometimes we had more, but we don't. But I repeat to you that God's word is by his ultimate design exactly what we need. And so I don't argue with God on that, but I do talk to him about it. Anyway, so it is written specifically, I believe, the word of God is salty in nature. In other words, when you eat a chip, you need a drink, okay? God's word is written in a way to draw us into relationship with him so he can teach us more of himself. That's how I see it. So, our pastor said recently, we are to live as salty Christians. We are not the meat to other people. We are simply the salt. The meat is Jesus, but and his word and his truth. But we are to salt. We are to live our lives in a way that other people say, wow, look how that person lives. How can they be gracious in this time? How could Elnora be faithful in the difficulties of life she faced? And you all look at her and you say, wow, I want some of that faith she has. I want to learn from her life. And that's the way we should live. Honestly, that's in the darker the times around us, the more salty our lives should be. People should see us as fearless people of faith, and they should say, wow, I want that peace that so-and-so has. I want more of that. And they're drawn into digging deeper. So I believe that's the way we should live. We should live as making people thirst or spurring them on to want more. And I really believe that's the way the Bible is written. Jesus wants an ongoing, everyday relationship with us. That's why he placed his life inside of us. And that's why he gives us all these stories, but he kept them at what he did, because he wants to teach you in the moment, in the day you're in. Now, I already mentioned that we Americans are fast-paced people. We don't do so good at waiting. But I really believe that if we're going to hear the simple things that God wants to teach us, we need to slow down. We need to slow down. We all have our eyes, our ears, taste, smell, our five senses in the natural. And a lot of our information comes through our natural senses. There's nothing wrong with that. They are tools that God gave us, and they are to be used by him. I believe that when life is hard, it can be any kind of difficulty we face, maybe a struggle with a bad habit or a sinful habit or fearful thoughts, or it just goes on and on and on. So we take all this in through our senses, and we become pretty fast people in responding out of that level. It's real easy, okay? We see this, we see that, and we cast a judgment and a reaction and a response on a situation just like that. And the more we live life, sometimes the better we get at it, right? And sometimes we get it right, but sometimes we get it really wrong. And as Christians, we really need to slow down and let all that information that we gather, that's good stuff, but let it touch the Spirit of God within us and then respond out of that. And I'll give you just a real simple illustration, but I had an interaction with the school board. This had been years ago when our children were in private school. But I heard a story that the school board responded to, and I heard a little bit of the story, and I formed a judgment, and I responded. I let the school board know that I thought they were making a mistake. Any of you ever had that experience? Anyway, I rushed. I went way too quick. A while later, I heard their side of the story, which shed tremendous light onto the situation. And I was like, man, I was way off. And I had to go back and apologize. If I would have slowed down, if I'd have just taken my time instead of just you know, I see that and I form a judgment and I respond out of it. And I had to apologize. I had to call up the chairman and say, look, I'm sorry. I responded out of insufficient information, and I was wrong in how I responded. And God dealt with me in that. So I believe, I just use that as an example, because I believe there's many things that we can be saved from if we slow down. Just slow down and let the Spirit of God lead us. So I'm going to give you three areas, specific areas that I just believe they're for all of us, things we can slow down in. The first one is in reading the Word of God. Now, I already mentioned that, but I believe there's a lot of verses. There's just a lot of verses. I started looking in Romans, Ephesians. There's just a ton of them where you can read it and you can read over it pretty quickly and you know the context of the verse and you know the words that are written and you kind of go through it pretty quick and you miss some really, really big things. And in fact, the really, really big things that you're missing, you're not going to get unless you meditate deeper than just reading. Okay? A key example is Romans 8:12. 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose, to them who are in Christ Jesus. You can read that, and you can logically give an explanation or an answer, but there's more there. There's more there than just meets the eye. There's more there, because if you just take it at face value, you end up in a debate with yourself. Well, if all things work together for good, well, this sure doesn't look good, and this doesn't feel good, and I don't understand how God can say this is good, and all of that. But if you stop and meditate and dig deeper, there's much more. That's only one verse, but if you look in Romans 5, verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace wherein we now stand. Now, take that one apart and meditate on it for a while. What does it mean that we have gained access by faith into grace that we stand in? Man, that's fun stuff. But you're not going to get the depth of it just reading over it. Okay, I read that verse today, now I'm going to go to chapter 6 tomorrow. Because as soon as you get to chapter 6, and then you're going to read, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly be united with him in resurrection. In resurrection. How are we united with him in death now? I think we're going to die, but that means that's not talking about our physical death in the future. It's talking about right now. And you're not going to get the meaning of that if you don't meditate on it. So I'm just saying, slow down. And I'm in your crowd, all right? I find myself. In fact, when I make my notes for my message, I use Microsoft Word and I arrange stuff and highlight stuff and bold stuff, whatever. But then I often end up taking a pen like this and writing across the page. That's what I'm writing. Slow down. Slow down. Because even when I speak, I get pretty excited and I can get carried away and I slow down. Ben, just slow down. Sorry. Sometimes my wife reminds me of that I get a little carried away. So I'm just saying, when you read these verses, and there's, I mentioned three, there's the New Testament, the epistles are full of these kind of verses where there's more there. There's more there. So God gave us exactly what we need, but he wants to draw us into deeper and he wants us to engage our spirit. The second one is in the area of prayer. Prayer is a conversation with a friend, a living friend, a person, Jesus Christ. It's not an abstract way of throwing your requests out there. And there's a time for requests. But I want you to imagine Jesus inviting us into relationship with him as a friend. And we come to him, and we have an agenda, and we have a list. And we say, dear Lord Jesus, I'm so grateful for you in my life today. And we might give him some other praise. That's good stuff. And then we just give our list of, would you please be with my dad? He's suffering with his eye. And can you be with, we had these requests. It's all good stuff. But then we're done. And imagine that in a personal relationship with a friend, like someone you don't see very often. They come to you, and maybe it's an employee, maybe whatever it is, and they're nice to you, you know, you make the pleasantries, and they just give you this agenda. And when they walk away, you're like, man, was there any friendship in that? It was all about agenda. It was all about this stuff. And I'm appealing to you that Jesus is the same as one of us. He don't want us to just come and list off our stuff and make our case and then walk away. So I'm saying slow down when you pray. The prayer that is powerful is the prayer that aligns with God's heart. And sometimes we assume we know God's heart when we're really missing it because we just make a real quick decision. So slow down when you read and slow down when you pray. And now the third one is a little bit what I was talking about. When we take all this information into our natural senses and we respond. So I'm suggesting that we need to slow down in how we respond to the situations of life. As myself, as I think about it, the one that comes to my mind first is in relation to my spouse. Okay? Things can happen in a relationship. They do. Things that we don't always see eye to eye. She has a wonderful perspective and I do too. So they're not always the same, right? But it's easy to make a reaction or a response or even to make a judgment of another person's motives when they do things differently than we do. It's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. You don't know that person's story. You don't know You don't know why a person responded in anger to you. You don't know. You think you might know. Sometimes you can figure some things out. I had an experience with one of my employees just recently, and a little bit of a conflict between two employees, and one employee was just angry, just. And so it took a while to talk and just get to the bottom of it, and I just knew I couldn't respond quickly or harshly or try to just bring judgment into the situation. It wouldn't have worked. I had to be patient. I had to hear her heart and hear her out. And after a while, and you know what happened? It was a couple weeks later. She called me aside and she said, you know, I'm really sorry. The Holy Spirit told me I should have responded in maturity and not defended myself in that situation. And I said, praise the Lord. Because I was very glad. But I knew if I would have responded quickly, it would have made it way worse. Mothers responding to your children. Fathers responding to your children. The hearts of your children are tender and they need you. And they need you to take time to understand them. Chuck Swindoll says that children are often slowpokes, and adults don't do that good with slowpokes, but we need to be good with slowpokes. So I would say in relation to your children, slow down, hear their heart, care for them. They need correction, yes, I'm not saying they don't, but they need it from a heart that understands, not a heart that responds quickly. And the truth of the matter is, the Spirit will sometimes give you an answer and a direction that supersedes anything you could have done in your own strength. Just stop and let the Spirit guide you. So that really sums it up, and I think it applies to all of us. I really do. Slow down when you read, slow down when you pray, and slow down when you respond to others, because God has a superior way of guiding your heart and guiding the hearts of those around you. I hope this was encouraging to you. It was fun for me to study, and it's something that I believe is affecting my life in many ways as I read, as I meditate, as I pray, and as I interact with others. So I'm going to have a prayer, and I'm just going to simply pray that God touches our hearts in a very personal and individual way. Lord, we are grateful for your life and for your word. And we are grateful for your Spirit that lives within us. We need your guidance. We need your insight, your wisdom. It seems like more and more every single day we need to be in tune with you, in touch with you, and hear from you. So I pray for two things as we gather here as a group. I pray that you would open our hearts to you and to the insight of your Spirit in an increased way today, personally upon every person here. And also pray that you would open up your well of wisdom from heaven to us, that we would hear you, that we would take time to be intentional about listening to you, and that we would move accordingly. God, help us to live in a way that we can be a positive influence in our own households, in our communities, and that we can make an impact in the world that is confused and hurting. Thank you for the promises of your word. Thank you that your word will not return void, and that you will minister to us in every way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.